Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we are glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. Once a month, for a long time now, he's been stopping by on the first Wednesday, and we talk about cooking and pick a particular topic. And we've talked about particular kind of dishes and approaches to cooking, sometimes maybe a key ingredient, sometimes cooking from some particular place. And then we say, well, call in and tell us a story, give us a recipe. We can talk about that. And there are really no rules here, so because sometimes we get into interesting other little side streets. So sometimes we start in one place and we finish someplace else. But we do generally have a kind of a theme for the program. And this time around, Doyle said he would like to talk about roasting vegetables, which is a really good thing to do. It warms up the house, so we're still at a time when you can feel okay about having the oven on. And as I'm sure folks know, if they've had the experience, something magical happens when you roast vegetables. You bring out their natural sweetness, and things that may be a little on the harsh side can get mellowed out, and it's a very, very good thing. So that's what we'll do. And recipes are welcome, and anything else that's on your mind, you want to call, you want to say hi, whatever, you can certainly do that. And the number to call here at Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. Is there something in particular that got you thinking about? I always ask that question.
Well, so, I know you do. Well, why?
Why?
Like, how did you come
up with
this?
How did you come up with this? Yeah.
Well, it's true. It is true. I just did one of the recipes that I want to talk about. I just did it, and I was so overwhelmed. Gosh, is it good? And I've had experience with roasting vegetables, and I want to bring that up too. I mean, one of the early cooking classes I took from a townsperson was some Greek cooking, and that's the first time I'd sort of run into, what you mean, just vegetables and baked or roasted? And I was very surprised at that dish and very pleased with that dish. And it's always been in the back of my mind, like, well, why isn't more done like that? Hmm. And then didn't Alton Brown roast broccoli? He roasted broccoli.
Roasted broccoli.
And he was expressing how the great advantage of roasting vegetables is, which I never had any. I just know that they always tasted good and they were always more interesting than the way my mother must have done, whatever it was. And I have roasted some things. You can do roast potatoes, you know, if you're going to have a standing rib roast or something. Boil some potatoes and then oil them up and put them in the oven next to the meat and cook them at the same time. Well, that's okay, but that seemed to be sort of a plain and simple thing to do. Well, I came upon this recipe, and as you know, I'm looking for good vegetarian recipes because that's what I'm eating most of now, and mm-hmm. It works. So I came upon this thing called a Dijon vegetable roast, and it was so simple. I said, "How can this possibly be any good?" It is potatoes. That you take potatoes and cut. Oh, I got those beautiful little Dutch yellow potatoes, the tiny ones. Mm-hmm. They cost a little more, but ooh, are they so good? They're really, really tasty. Little tiny Dutch potatoes, or you could use baby reds if you wanted to. Cut them in half so that there is a surface that is exposed. Cut them in half and then put some take some onions and quarter the onions. Don't slice it, but you big quarters, and then put those in a bowl and mix them up with some olive oil. So you've got those sitting there. Then get 2 cups of those little grape tomatoes, cut those all in half, and then get some good black olives, about 15 or 17 black olives, cut those in half, put them in another bowl and wait. Then I use a small convection oven, so I have nice little pans that fit. They're 9 by 13, and put the potatoes in there, throw them in at 400, I put them in at 400. It could be 350. That's interesting. I did them at 400.
Well, they were probably – it seems to me that some roasting recipes do use fairly high temperatures.
Very high heat.
400, yeah. 425, yeah. Maybe even as
even
high as 450.
Yeah. I mean, looking at my recipe right now, I thought, wait, I remember I put them in. Anyway, 20 minutes. 20 minutes. And they're all done at 20 minutes, and then at that time you put in the rest of the tomatoes and the olives, and do them for 10 more minutes. That's all the cooking time that you take is only 30 minutes of cooking time, mm-hmm. and they'll be done. But the secret is, you make this sauce, and the sauce is 5 teaspoons of a good mustard. Of which I made my own mustard anyway. So that's what I did. That's what I did at Christmas time, was make a lot of mustard. And so 5 teaspoons of mustard, 5 teaspoons of oil, nothing else. You mix those two together, mm-hmm. and that makes a sauce. Oh, and then the grated zest of a lemon. That makes a sauce. And when all these vegetables are done in the oven, you toss them into the sauce, fluff them up. I'm telling you. You don't want anything else.
It sounds really good.
It is amazingly good, because all those flavors came together, and they're held together with that mustard and oil, which I was surprised. Now, mustard has a lot of taste to it, you know. So the salt and pepper, minimal, and no other herbs or spices or sauces or anything else is necessary. Mm-hmm. I was just surprised at how simple it was. A Dijon, you use the country Dijon mustard.
The one that's really coarse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the one that I was making was coarse too. Uh-huh. So I liked that. So then I looked around and hunted up the recipe that I had sort of gotten involved with making this. And I'd been looking for other recipes. I find it very difficult to find any reference to this kind of cooking a lot of vegetables and just roasting them in a pan. I found it very difficult. And I remember there was a Greek woman that was teaching this class, and she called this recipe biryani. Well, that gets me confused, because biryani is also the name of an Indian recipe with rice and such things. And I kept trying to find biryani in any Greek connection. I could never find it. However, one of my books is a B-R-I-A-M, Briam. And so I can see how biryani and Briam could be the same word. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of that in cooking, like baroques and barak and pierogi. They're all the same thing. But they come from different countries with different names, but they're all the same thing. And so I believe so. But the one that I learned in class has so many vegetables in it. But oh God, is it good! And it's kind of laced over with tomato juice. So that becomes the water that wants to keep things moistening. So it's some olive oil and some tomato juice and then all these vegetables. Well, I can give that later, or I'm going to leave these recipes with you if anyone is interested.
Okay. And we can put them up on the website.
Oh,
as we now for a while have been doing, have been getting recipes posted on the website. So if you want to look at what's there, go to our webpage, will.uiuc.edu, and go to AM, go to Focus 580, go to links, and then there are now a whole bunch of recipes there from some of our past shows here with Doyle Moore. We have somebody to bring into the conversation. Let's do that.
Let's bake a vegetable.
On line one in Champaign.
Hi. I am glad you're talking about baking vegetables, because I recently discovered a recipe with baked cauliflower. And it's just so delicious and toasty and popcorn-y flavored that I couldn't believe it.
You know, what I didn't say was that Alton Brown mentioned that there is a quality in roasting vegetables uh-huh. that simply does not come from frying or boiling or steaming, which is also virtuous, but it something happens. And so I think you're quite right. Well, let's hear it.
Well, what it came from a book of appetizer ideas, and you take a whole head of, you know, raw cauliflower, and
yes.
you cut it into approximately the floret size, is about the size of a golf ball,
yes,
or smaller, and then you toss that in a little bit of oil, and I have used olive oil, which is tasty, and I've also used just regular canola oil.
Canola oil, yes, or peanut oil, yes, either of those would be
yeah.
very good.
And then it goes into the oven, a super hot 450-degree oven.
450, yes.
And you cook it for about an hour, and I usually let it roast.
1 hour.
I let it roast about the first 20 minutes, and then I start turning it over. And every time you turn it over, you're going to see that the part that was down is a little browner and a little more caramelized and a little sweeter. And by the end of the hour, you end up with this almost moist on the inside, kind uh-huh. of almost crunchy on the outside. And sprinkle it with a little rock salt, or not rock salt. We've had too much bad weather.
You know, just before I came, I had my hands in the rock salt. That's good.
Sorry.
No, that's good.
I don't mean to eat the rock salt. A little kosher salt is what
uh-huh.
I use usually. And it is just a tasty snack. And my teenage girls, when I take that out of the oven, we sit down and scarf that thing with forks or fingers, like you wouldn't believe, and we can eat a whole head of cauliflower in about 15 minutes.
Is that right?
And I am just surprised because it's just so, so tasty. But I do need to add one more thing.
Yes.
I do it on parchment paper.
Oh, on parchment paper.
Yeah, so that it doesn't stick and it's easy to turn over. And I just use tongs to turn the pieces.
On parchment paper.
But it is just tasty. It's almost like popcorn. It really almost is like popcorn. And addictive.
It obviously is so satisfying.
Absolutely.
And I think that you gave a good hint. It's that sort of caramelization. It's going to bring out whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to extract whatever sugars there mm-hmm. are, and it'll caramelize those. Mm-hmm. I believe that that's the quality that Alton Brown was talking about.
That I think so, too.
He just said, well, this is just totally – he did it with broccoli.
Mm-hmm. Well, I experimented then with carrots.
Oh, well, carrots are a very old
right.
Carrots and parsnips.
Yeah.
And you sort of glaze them a little bit, and it is the caramelizing. I talked about that with a friend the other day.
And the only thing that I found about with the carrots was that because the density of them is that they take a really long time to
yes, they do.
And,
yes,
and
they do.
Crisp up and stuff. But this is good. I've never tried the broccoli, but I think that I would.
Well, have at it. Because
thank you so much.
It looked
okay,
good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm glad for those suggestions because I think maybe some people are thinking roasting vegetables. They're thinking about root vegetables. They're thinking about potatoes and beets
yeah.
and carrots and parsnips. And, you know,
this is the time of the year you should think about that because spring hasn't given us fresh vegetables yet.
Yeah.
And although we're getting them from Ecuador and Chile. I mean, we do have fresh vegetables, but the idea of eating the vegetables from your garden, you haven't gotten any produce from that yet, and you've got the old root vegetables, and you think of doing that.
Yeah, that's a real classic sort of winter
yes.
thing. And maybe the other thing just to keep in mind is, particularly if you're doing big mixtures of vegetables, maybe one catch is everything does not cook at the same rate.
Right.
So you might have to think about what cooks faster, what cooks slower, and start with the thing that's going to take the longest.
Well, you see,
and then
in the recipe I just gave, the potatoes and onions take 20 minutes, and the tomatoes take 10.
Yeah.
So
that's or if you I've roasted together potatoes, regular potatoes, and sweet potatoes.
Oh, yes.
And they cook differently. So either you can start one first or the other suggestion, and this comes – I think this came out of I have a couple of books by Deborah Madison who has authored several vegetarian cookbooks. And she just says the sweet potatoes cook quicker. So she says, well, just cut them in bigger pieces.
You know, oh, well, that's
cut
true.
The regular
yes.
potatoes smaller, cut the sweet potatoes bigger, and if you get the right size ratio, you can put them in together, and they'll come out, and in the same amount of time, they'll be equally done. But so you got to kind of know how things are going to cook.
Well, I guard my sweet potatoes. I don't like to mix them with anything else.
No?
Oh, no. I mean, a sweet potato, rub a little oil on it, poke it with a fork, stick it in the oven, and wait.
Yeah.
And even if they're cold, I sometimes my lunch will be – I will cook extra ones, so I'll have them. And sometimes my lunch may just be that cold sweet potato. Yeah. Oh, God, is that good.
Even the past couple of years, we've been doing mashed sweet potatoes more and more. And it's something that I guess I might not have thought about. And that's also something I learned watching Alton Brown, where his suggestion is that to cook the sweet potatoes, you peel them, you cut them in pieces, and you steam them.
And steam them, yes.
And so then that way they don't pick up a lot of extra moisture, but they do cook. And then you'd mash them like you would mashed potatoes, except just a tiny, tiny bit of butter, maybe a little bit of brown sugar or a little bit of maple syrup is good. And that works real well.
And star anise.
Now, you see, I'm not a big fan of licorice-flavored stuff.
Oh, well, then
so
don't touch it.
I don't – it doesn't like – you know.
It surprises me in the
– It doesn't do that for me.
I remember that from 1972, the first time I worked with star anise, and it was in sweet potatoes, mashed sweet potatoes for Thanksgiving. Oh, was it good. Mm. But you're right. If you don't like that licorice – then
doesn't do it.
Don't eat it.
All right. Well, we've got some other folks here. The man here is the man we like to call our chef in residence here on Focus 580. And let me point out, ladies and gentlemen, this is purely an honorary title. He shows up here, has been for a long time, first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about cooking and always have a good time. And this time around, he said, let's talk about roasting vegetables. And he has contributed here a recipe. We've got one from somebody who called in and gave us a sounds like a really good recipe for cauliflower. And if you have one, give us a call. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And next up, we'll talk with someone in Urbana in line two. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
One that surprised me that is really excellent is roasting asparagus.
Really?
Cutting it into about 1-inch pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You could peel the lower part if you wanted to be real economical. And the other thing about carrots, I put them in the microwave for a few minutes and then put them on because otherwise they may take so long that they burn.
That they burn or shrivel up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that works really well.
That's good. Potatoes work good if you boil them, parboil them before you roast them as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for a great show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Asparagus.
I've had it roasted. In fact, I once was at one of my producer's houses for dinner, Martha Dielen, as an appetizer. She roasted asparagus that she had wrapped in prosciutto.
Oh, my.
And that was very good.
I'll bet so.
That was very good. So, yes, asparagus, and that's one of those things, one of those vegetables that maybe can be a little edgy, a little on the harsh side, and that if you roast it, it's going to bring out the sweetness and mellow
it
out
some. Yeah.
So maybe for some people, if you'd say, I'm not sure that I like asparagus, you might try that, and it might change your mind about asparagus. Next caller here is in Danville, line 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I must preface my statement by saying that I do not like licorice. However, someone told me just a couple of months ago about sprinkling a bit of anise on a baked sweet potato, and it's absolutely delicious.
It's a good surprise, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And nothing else need be added. No, I don't put sugar on them anyway. Occasionally a pat of margarine or something. But, I guess ever since I had read that Abraham Lincoln was reputed to have taken a sweet potato from the coals to walk a distance and keep their hands warm. And
oh, that's right.
Would eat them for lunch, and I think just peeling them like a banana.
Maybe. Oh, I don't peel them at all. I look forward. In fact.
You eat the peel?
Oh, goodness, yes. Oh, boy. not only do I eat mine, but for those who are at the table who've peel them, or, you know, or scrape out whatever. I generally ask for one or two of those. No, I like the skin. There's a lot of something in there, plus a nice texture and fiber. And I look forward to eating that.
Well, there is fiber.
Yes, there is. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll make the courage to try
it. Give it a try. And then, and even if they're cold, I eat them without peeling them, even if they're cold. I like that. I just learned to like it. I guess I taught myself to like it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call. We'll go on here. Next, we'll talk with someone in St. Joe. This is line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I couldn't believe when you were talking about sweet potatoes that you were boiling them. You want to roast them also. I peel them, cut them in thick, maybe inch and a half slices, and put a little oil on a baking sheet.
Yes.
And put the slices in there and roast them in, I don't know, a 350, 400-degree oven, and then turn them once in a while. And they'll caramelize also, and they are so, so tasty. You don't need the brown sugar. You don't need the butter. They're just wonderful.
They're pretty good, aren't they?
Oh, they are. And you need to roast the sweet potatoes, not spoil them by putting them in all that water.
Well, David, you'll have to.
Well, now, I appreciate the comment, and because I certainly have roasted sweet potatoes. And this was, maybe I wasn't being clear, this was for, this is something my wife really likes, and she makes these, and they're very good.
I do too.
And they're
for
mashed, but not, I think that the important thing is that actually I don't boil them in water. This is something that I learned from watching a TV cook. He suggested that you steam them.
Steam.
So use one of those baskets, metal baskets that you put down on your pan. And then that way they don't get waterlogged.
Right.
So that's just another alternative. But I hear what you say. Minimally treated roasted sweet potatoes are really, really good. All by them. So you don't have to do nothing to them.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people will roast them, and I've done that too, roast them with the peel on. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you could still cut them in the slices, but it's by the cutting and laying them on the baking sheet that they caramelize. You know, they've got a lot of sugar in them, and so that caramelizes.
And you've got a lot of surface that way, too.
Right. Oh, they get let them get just a little bit browned and turned, and they are so good.
It is a treat. Well, thank you.
It is a treat. You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Other questions are certainly welcome, or comments or recipes. You want to pick up the telephone and give us a call. We're talking this morning about roasting vegetables. This is our regular monthly program on cooking with the man that we call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he's been stopping by here for a long time on the first Wednesday, and we exchange recipes and tell stories and have a good time. So if you have a recipe, particularly it'd be particularly interesting, I'm sure, to hear recipes that were maybe a little unconventional. Again, getting away from we talked about the classic root vegetable roast, and that's really good. But I, like, for example, the caller who had the recipe for the cauliflower, that's just a little bit different, and it's not one of the things that people maybe right away would think of when you say roasting vegetables. They're thinking about potatoes and beets and carrots and stuff like that. Maybe not so much cauliflower and broccoli. So
ooh, you
now
said the magic word, beets.
Ooh. Beets. Oh, you like beets?
Roasted beets.
Roasted beets are a good
really
thing.
Really good.
Yes.
My, they're tasty.
So what would you do?
I would take them and scrub them and put them on a dish and bake them, roast them.
So
nothing else
in particular to them.
No. Okay. And then the skins slip off of them real easy. And they do have a different taste from boiled or fried.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever fry a beet?
Fried beets? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Somehow that's never, those two words don't fit, do they?
Fried special today, fried beets. Right. Let's talk again with another caller in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi, can you give me an eggplant recipe for roasting?
I can tell you about it. I can't, right off the top of my head. You'll have to look it up. There is a, because these recipes are available in a lot of places, but there is a recipe for what is called sometimes poor man's caviar. And you start that by roasting the eggplant. But the way you do it is you cut the eggplant in half and you turn it with the cut side down on a pan, and then roast that in the oven for a period of time until it is thoroughly roasted, and then you scrape it out of the hull, and you use that it's not a puree, but it certainly is dissolved, and you can mix it up, and you use it to what do you put in that? I think you put some garlic and maybe some cumin and a lot of lemon juice and some olive oil, and you mix that up, and it's kind of like a dip. There are several names for that. You could find it, but it does start with roasting the eggplant. But you use it. That's a process to get it. I don't know about the other roasted eggplant is that wonderful one called and the priest fainted, the imam fainted. Is really a roasted eggplant, but you cut into it and you stuff it with extra vegetables.
So you're talking about the standard large eggplant.
Well, the second recipe was the little eggplant, but the large one is the one that you make poor man's caviar out of.
Okay,
that'll do it.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you. I'm just here. I have gone to one of my favorite websites just for grins, the Epicurious site, where they have many recipes, and you can put in something like I just put in roasted eggplant, uh-huh. and it gave me 30 recipes. So
That's a good thought.
It looks like, for example, here's one they call roasted eggplant medley, which has in it eggplant, zucchini, plum tomatoes, and then onion, and then for seasoning it, and then it also has some garlic, and for seasoning it has some cumin, a little bit of lemon juice, some mint, and some cilantro. And it sounds like it's not that much different different from, you know, the mixed vegetable roast that you were talking about doing. Although this is for, what they have you do is broil the vegetables, and then mix that up with the seasoning. So it sounds like, and then there are a number of recipes here that would suggest that natural things to combine with eggplant would be things like red peppers or tomatoes, onions, and so forth. So it sounds like that it shouldn't be that hard to find recipes and to think about things that naturally would harmonize with that flavor. So
that's the way it's done.
All right. Let's go to Champagne. Line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I love roasted vegetables, but I've had very little experience in cooking them. I'm wondering if you could just talk about the different procedures to do that, you know, using an oven, outdoor grill, things like that, and particularly how to avoid burning them, since you tend to use high temperatures, not
well,
offline.
That's a very good point. When we were talking about outdoor grilling and such, we touched on the idea of grilled vegetables. They're good, but that's not a confined heat. That's the heat that kind of comes up and toasts them on the bottom. You have to turn them over and grill them on the other side. The technique for roasting, I like a low flat pan, which I think sometimes is called a jelly roll. It's only got an inch border around it. You need to put oil on the vegetables that you're going to roast, and it doesn't take. You don't use a lot of other stuff, but mostly just an oil, and then they are quickly. Quickly baked and roasted in just the oil. There isn't much technique to it at all. My guess is look at them a little bit. I did these potatoes again last night, and I was doing something else, and they stayed in for an extra 5 minutes. That didn't seem to hurt them, I'm going to serve the roasted potatoes with an aioli, which is a very garlicky mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have these cooled potatoes and some good cooling aioli. That's going to – ooh, is that – hardly wait. Do we? How much more time?
We have about another 20 minutes. You cannot leave until then.
Oh, I didn't realize how good I was thinking about that. Yes, I'm going to give this biryani recipe when we have a little break time here.
So. Maybe one other thing you might keep in mind when you're roasting vegetables is I think you don't want to crowd them too much. You need to have a little bit of
space
around them to get good browning and. Periodically, you probably do want to go in there with a spoon or spatula or something and kind of stir them up.
Turn them over, the bottoms and the tops.
Yeah.
I was surprised at the first caller who said that if you look at the bottoms, that's where they're all caramelizing. Ooh, I thought that's where they weren't cooking at all. I thought it was the heat on the top. And so I had to stop and think about that.
Yeah. Okay. And it's not hard. This is not hard at all. This is one of the easiest things that probably you can do.
And, you know, I kind of have a sneaky suspicion that it's a very old technique, that roasting in front of a fire, because, you see, our early cooking had to be sort of fire beating onto the dish, whatever. If you put the meat in and you twirled it and roasted it that way, and the technique of using an oven, I think, is very late.
All right. Well, again, let's go to somebody else, and this is someone in McLean County, line one. Hello.
Hi. I have a question and a comment. Question is, you just mentioned something about the sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes. And I agree with you. If my husband doesn't want his skin, I eat it. I absolutely love that stuff. Do you roast them wrapped in foil or not in foil?
No. I poke them with a fork so they won't explode.
Okay.
And, you know, several times. And then I put oil in my hand, and then I slide them around my hand so they're very, very oily.
Okay.
And I don't put them in foil. No.
And you put them directly on the rack?
Directly on the rack. I don't even put them in a pan.
Oh, okay.
Put them directly in the rack, and I use a convection oven, so there's heat going around all of it, and they really cook quite well on the rack.
Okay.
With that, and they don't mess up anything. They don't exude any juices. So you aren't going to mess up your oven.
Oh, see, I've always been afraid that they would. So I put a cookie sheet on the little rack on top of the cookie sheet, and then I put them on top.
No, you can put them right on the rack.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Easy.
My comment was
yes.
I just heard, and I'm going to hang up after I say this, and. It just kind of confused me a little bit because I use a microwave quite a bit in reheating. But then I listened to some program, and they said that when you microwave, you destroy enzymes that are actually good for making your nutrients available to your body and because of the high heat. Anyway, it was just one of those things when I heard it, I'm thinking, oh, man, there goes my vegetable.
Yeah.
So anyway,
because vegetables cooked in a microwave, of course, when I cook vegetables in a microwave, they aren't in there for more than 4 minutes.
Okay.
So I know they aren't in for a long period of time, so they don't go through a drying or a whatever process. Uh-huh. But my family taught me to cook asparagus 4 minutes in the microwave out.
Oh,
and that's all there is to it. And most of the vegetables that you want to eat will cook in 4 minutes.
Okay.
So maybe it's not a matter of leaving him in a long time.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
All sure.
Right. Well, thank you. And let's see where we go next. We'll talk with someone in Urbana. Line number three.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
When you were talking about roasted eggplant, I wanted to mention my favorite, one of my favorite recipes for that.
Yes.
It's called baba ganoush.
Oh, yes, baba ganoush.
Yeah, so you peel and mash a baked eggplant, add a few tablespoons.
All right, now this is a whole eggplant you cut in half.
Yeah, right, and you roast it the way you said.
And for about how long? Because I know the listener wanted to know.
Oh, for how long? At least a half an hour.
I think a half an hour,
really?
Yes.
And then I check it, you know, to see if it's ready, it's soft. And then you take it out, you add a few tablespoons tahini,
Yes, tahini.
Mm-hmm. A minced garlic clove.
Yes.
And the juice of half a lemon.
Lemon juice, yes.
Okay, you salt to taste.
Uh-huh.
Let stand half an hour, it says at least. And just before serving, sprinkle with a few drops of olive oil and dashes of ground cumin.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful.
Oh, yes, the ground cumin wants to be in there just
great.
A bit.
It makes a wonderful appetizer.
That is a very good. That's very. The baba ganoush is very much like what I was describing as it's called poor man's caviar.
Uh-huh, right.
And I had forgotten the name baba ganoush.
Yeah,
thank
right.
you
I
for.
I thought you were thinking of that.
You could hear me hear the
ground. Right, I could hear the wheels.
Exactly. Wheels were trying. What is that?
Yeah, right.
That's exactly it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, thank you. And again, here to line number two, and this is someone who is on campus. Hello.
Yeah, hi. The same line of eggplant roasting. There are a couple of Indian great recipes.
Oh, yes, there are.
Like one of them is, of course, you can call Bangan is for eggplant and Bharta is for the particular recipe's name. And what it is take the baked eggplant and roast it either in the oven, wrap it in the aluminum foil.
You can wrap that one in aluminum foil, yes.
Right. And you know, before that, of course, oil it a little bit, just, you know, on the top. And then I would say at 450 degrees, 20 to 30 minutes tops, I guess. And actually, it is even smokier and better if you have open fire or charcoal grill.
Yes.
And the same way you can do it without the wrapping. And, of course, watch it and turn it so that it roasts well. Then we peel it generally and then chop it or mash it up. And there are two, three different ways of doing it. One of the easiest one would be put a little salt and sugar in it, fresh chopped up onions, some fresh chopped up green chilies, yogurt or lemon juice, okay, that kind of thing. And we also have that. Do you know that we in Indian recipes, we have this hot oil with mustard seeds. And
oh, yes, the vagar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the vagar or tarka or, you know, there are different names for that. Or thodni, we call it in Maharashtra. So it's a different word for the same thing.
Yes.
And we do use some the hing powder, which is written of a tree. And it is
asafoetida.
Asafoetida.
Yes.
That you can put a little bit on that. And, you know, in the hot oil quickly. And then put it on the top of this whole thing and mix it up. And that is wonderful with chapati or whatever you eat. And sometimes you can also, on this particular vagar, you can put chopped onions
and maybe some chopped peppers.
Yeah, right, yeah. And then you just cook it a little bit. And then also you can put some garlic and ginger paste in it, you know, equal amount you can take.
Oh, that's right, ginger and garlic, yes.
Right, and then you have... you can mix it up with this cooked or baked or whatever, roasted eggplant chopped up. And, you know, that gives a different taste and completely different line of, you know, making it.
It but, is. That's very good. I know that recipe. That's really, really good, isn't it?
Right. So, you know, and we also use sometimes in place of lemon juice or yogurt, we have the tamarind,
eggplant, yes.
You know, that,
that's a little sour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, of course, and then instead of regular sugar, you use the jaggery or the good, that brown, you know, the rock kind of sugar, not brown rock sugar.
Not brown sugar, but yeah, jaggery.
Yeah, jaggery, you know, yeah.
That's hard to get.
Well, you can. Here in town, you can.
We can get it here in town.
Indian shop is there called Annapurna.
Oh, yes, yes. I've just discovered that shop 2 weeks ago. Oh,
there.
They had everything in there. Yes.
They do. And of course, you can use sometimes, you know, that some you know, South American different or Latin American kind of different specialties like chilies and all that, you know, the dry chilies and stuff. They do have this little cones of the sugar. The cane sugar cone.
Oh, yes, cane, yes.
It is about the same, like, you know, like the jaggery.
Which comes in a chunk, so you have to break
anyway,
it up.
Anyway, I thought I'll just, well...
Oh, that's good to re-remind me of that recipe. I like it.
Yeah, and I like baba ganoush too, because that was on my list here to talk about, but she talked about it already.
It's just a little bit different, yeah, but
yes,
you've got a good taste there. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, and you, of course, don't forget the coriander, chopped up
coriander. Chopped up coriander on the top, you're
always
right.
It's always fun. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you. We have left in this part of Focus 580, about 10 minutes maybe, with this man we'd like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He stops by once a month, has been doing that for a long time, on the first Wednesday. And we talk about cooking and take some kind of topic and tell stories and exchange recipes and generally have a good time. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about roasting vegetables. And we have collected a number of good recipes, and maybe you have one to share or you've got something else on your mind. You can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Now, you have another recipe.
I have a recipe. It's long, and don't worry about writing it down, because we'll have this available here as David has told you. But I want to tell you, because this is how involved it is, and this is where I got first hooked on this a long, long time ago. This is a Greek recipe. 3 medium-sized green zucchini that you would chop up or slice them up in any way you want them. 2 cloves of garlic, 5 scallions chopped up fine, 4 tablespoons of parsley chopped up, 1 green pepper sliced fine, 1 small can of peas, or 1/2 cup of frozen peas or fresh peas, 2 sliced potatoes, 1/2 cup of green beans, 1/2 cup of lima beans, 1/2 cup of carrots sliced 1/4 inch thick, and 1/2 cup of celery, and 1 cup of canned tomatoes. That's an awful long list. Zucchini, garlic, scallions, parsley, green pepper, peas, potatoes, green beans, lima beans, carrots, celery, and tomatoes. And with that, you put on 4 tablespoons of olive oil and 2 tablespoons of tomato paste. But I remember what happened was she didn't have tomato paste that day. And you have a vegetable bouillon cube, which you mix up, and a beef bouillon cube that you crush and sprinkle over it, salt and pepper, and 1/2 cup of water. And then, but I remember in this is one that just completely stunned me. She took a can of tomato juice and used that in place of the tomato paste and splashed that over the whole thing. And that bakes in the oven for 1.5 hours, which is quite a while, at 350. And you uncover it. You cover it over with a why do I have uncovered here? You don't cover it, but you must. So what's in my recipe? I think that maybe it was covered, and so it kind of had a steaming effect. But I would uncover it, and then cook it for 1.5 hours. It took a long time. I was just stunned at what happened to all those vegetables. Mm-hmm. They didn't meld together. They took on a vitality, like we're talking, that this act of roasting the vegetables is pretty different. That's an awful long list of stuff, and I was totally surprised at how delicious it was for being not just – it wasn't just garbage cooking, you know, where you throw anything you want. And these are specific. They're specific vegetables that were used. And then when I found the bouillon, it is a lot simpler. It's tomatoes, potatoes, squash, eggplant, and okra, and garlic and green pepper and parsley and oil. But it is also cooked for 1.5 hours in 250 oven, a very slow oven. So it's you're not going to burn either one of them, because you're going to cook them for a long period of time, and you watch them and you stir them, you fuss. I thought, oh, it's an awful lot of trouble doing this, but I do remember liking it so much.
All right. Well, we'll make sure that these recipes
are
on our website, and maybe a couple of the others that people have given to us. And we have a volunteer who for a while now has very graciously been transcribing these recipes so we can have them on the website.
Yes.
So if you'd like to check them out, see what's there, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU and click on AM, then click on Focus 580, then click on links and the recipes, all those that we have there. And we have now quite a few months worth of recipes on there. You can see them. And somebody wants to call real quick here and get in before we end up out of time, and next minute or two. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I think once you get into roasting vegetables, you probably start thinking about now, other than just putting them on a plate and eating them,
exactly,
which is fine, what other things can you do? And there actually are, you know, some other things you can do. One thing that I have done, and this is actually very, very good, is to use them in soup.
Roast
the vegetables
first,
and then put them into the, you know, ordinarily what I would do is I would put the raw vegetables in there and cook them in the broth. Ah, but this is a whole different kind of a deal.
Roasted
vegetables, and it's really good. It's really good.
What's the hottest thing right now, you know? Do you know what? Fire-roasted tomatoes. Roasted peppers, which comes from Mexican cooking a lot. And I thought, oh, well, this is interesting. Now you can buy fire roasted tomatoes in the can. And Bertolli's does a marinara, which is fire roasted tomatoes. I mean, so it's exactly what you're saying. Use that as the first prep of something that you'll go on to a little farther using thing. And I believe that some of the roasted vegetables are then also pureed in different ways.
Yeah. And you could use them as spreads.
Yes.
You could. I came across a nice article on the web, on the WebMD website, which was written by a registered dietitian, a woman named Elaine McGee, where she talked about roasting vegetables. She talks about techniques, and then she talks about the things that you can do with them, and did indeed mention soup and mention spreads. And she also suggested that you could use roasted vegetables if you're going to be making pizza. You make your homemade pizza, put roasted vegetables on that, like roasted garlic, onions, eggplant, tomatoes, pepper, zucchini. Put those as toppings on your pizza, which I'm sure also would be very good.
Well, yeah, they'd be roasted and they'd be done like they wanted to be, and they wouldn't. It doesn't take that long to cook a pizza,
yeah.
And so they would be already done.
The soup, this was really good because the roasted vegetables pretty much kept their roast vegetable quality.
Yeah.
They the kind of texture, still a little bit of a crunchiness, and then that nice flavor and that sweetness that comes out in the vegetable, it's still there. It does not cook away when you put it into the soup.
I think that you just get surprised by that, you know, because we don't have a lot of recipes that do that. But as I said, it seems to me that this is a technique that is very, very, very old. And cooking in front of a fire, as the one caller says, you know, of course, it would be more wonderful if you cook it in front of the fire. Mm-hmm. And that is the way that much cooking is done in a lot of places, is right, a live fire.
Yeah, so. I do the roasted things that are roasted or smoked, things like roasted bell pepper,
yes,
or tomatoes. It just brings out. Or of course, when you smoke or roast a chili too, you end up with something like chipotle. Or one of the things that I've really, my wife brought home some of it one day, and I just thought it was just one of the most wonderful things I ever saw, was smoked paprika. Ooh, this is a good thing.
I used that night before last.
This
yes.
is a really good thing. I
it's
know I've
surprise.
Talked about this before.
Yes.
If you have never tried smoked paprika, go out
it's
and get
Spanish.
Some smoked paprika. It's a Spanish thing.
Yep.
And it has a really, really, really nice flavor.
No, I'm not exactly certain all the places that have it. We can get it in town now. We haven't had it for, some places have had it for a long time. I do know it's at the Art Mart. I would guess it would be also at World
Harvest. I think
World
that's
Harvest,
where the
and
ones
I think
that we
it might
from,
also
yeah.
be at Euro.
Euromart.
Yeah. I would certainly go to those three places to hunt it up. I know it's at the Art Mart.
Yeah. It's
smoked paprika.
Smoked paprika. It's very good. It is a very good thing. Well, we're almost at the point here we have to finish. Maybe we have about a minute or so left on. Is there anything last word here?
Well,
you'd
I was
like
wondering if there's anything that I hadn't talked about for vegetables. Some of them, something was going through my mind about, I know what I was thinking of a moment ago. I thought, you know, this also, it touches very closely to roasted fruit. And roasted fresh peaches and roasted pears are another, and the same thing is happening to them. You know, they're caramelizing and they're working in a different way from just heating them up or just boiling them so much. But roasted fruits are treated exactly the same way.
And that's a great thing that you can get into once we get into your grilling season.
Yes, because now that's grilled,
once you've
and they're
cooked,
good.
You cooked your whatever you're going to cook, and you're this particularly if you're using charcoal, and your fire's starting to burn down, so it's not as hot as it was. You still got some heat there that you can do something with, and grilling vegetables. Now there is a good thing too.
Well, let's get back to the eggplant. The main way that some eggplant is grilled. Or roasted, grilled, is to take the little long tiny baby eggplant and slice it like a fan and spread it out, and it grills or roasts quite well.
Yeah.
And then of course that you don't do anything else with it. It's the vegetable you're going to have anyway.
Well, I guess for this time around, we'll say we're done. Stick a fork in us, we're done. And if you're interested in some of the recipes we've talked about here today, go to our website. Again, that's WILL.UIUC.EDU. Go to AM Focus 580 links, and you can see some of the recipes from the past shows. And as quick as we can, we'll get the recipes on from this time around. And Doyle will be back. You'll be back next month. That'll be April.
I get to be here in April, on April Fool's Day.
All right.
I forget what day it is.
Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our Chavin residence, once a month here for a long time. We've been doing these programs always on the first Wednesday of the month in the 10 o'clock hour, and always have a good time. These programs here on Focus 580 are made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Wacky Nackies, Prairie Fire Glass, Be Active Toys, and Any Frequency Music, all housed on the same street in downtown Monticello. In the next hour, we're going to talk about cars. We have a guest joining us from Consumer Reports, Jeff Bartlett. He's the deputy editor online for autos for Consumer Reports. Their regular annual car issue is out. We'll talk about the best and the worst of new cars. First, though, we'll break for an update on the markets and news, so please stay tuned.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. We're at the Chicago Board of Trade. We're seeing a lot of green on the screen as well as in Kansas City. Let's go right to the current prices in Kansas City. March wheat trading at 1170 up 17. July 1133.5 up 33.5. The Chicago Board of Trade March wheat trading at 1102 up 24.5. May 1132 up 44.5. July 1058 up 51. March corn trading at 559 up 16. May 570 up 15.5. July 581.75 up 15. December 581 up 13.75. March beans at 1536 up 42. May 1550.5 up 39.75. July 1560 up 40. November 1426.5 up 27.75. March soybean meal 380.80 up 10.50. May 387 up 10.20. March soybean oil 69.05 up 185. May 69.40 up 58. April live cattle 90.85 down 35. March feeders 150 down 115. April lean hog.